All right, get your Bibles. Let's open them to the book of Matthew, chapter 1. Matthew, chapter 1. And we'll just look at verse number 1 for now. Matthew, chapter 1. And verse number 1. So, pinag-aaralan natin yung book of Matthew. At nasa introduction pa rin tayo. And we won't be looking at the text at all. But just to mention it here and get our minds focused on the book of Matthew. So tingnan natin ang Matthew chapter 1 verse 1. Let's read it together. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless them. Father in heaven, we thank you for the book of Matthew. We thank you for the record that we have that proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is indeed the King and the Messiah, that Jesus Christ is the Son of David and the Son of Abraham, and that He will come again to rule and reign and subdue His and our enemies. We thank You for that, Lord. And we pray that we would enter into the truths of Scripture. We pray for the illumination, the power of the Holy Spirit of God to illuminate and enlighten us, Lord, in the truths that we find. Help us, Father, to apply and inculcate these truths into our hearts and into our lives. We pray for those among us, Lord, who don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that they would take heed to themselves, Lord, and then receive Him as Savior before it's too late, and that they too can discover the blessings of knowing Him as Lord and Savior. We ask Your forgiveness of our sins, for our cleansing for our sins, Lord, we pray. And we ask that You would bless now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, so pinag-aaralan natin yung book of Matthew. Nasa Bagong Tipan tayo. Last couple weeks ago, we were in Micah, sa Lumang Tipan. So that's how I generally like to do things. Go in the Old Testament, then go to the New Testament. And last week, pinag-aaralan natin kung paano naligtas itong si Levi, itong si Matthew. If you remember the message last week, God could save anybody. Pwedeng iligtas ng Diyos ang kahit sino. Basta siya ay magsisi. Nagsisi ba si Matthew? Yes. Ano yung pinagsisihan ni Matthew? Yung maling pag-collect ng mga taxes. Okay, so narinig niya yung pangangaral, nagsisi siya, at tinanggap niya si Jesus Christ bilang tagapagligtas at Messiah, at naging alagad si Matthew, na nabaptize siya ni John the Baptist, tapos nagpatuloy siya na magtrabaho hanggang tinawag siya ng Panginoon na iwanan ang trabaho at maging isang apostol. And so we have Matthew as an apostle and in fact a gospel writer. So hindi lang siya nag-serve bilang pastor sa isa sa mga churches ng Panginoon, but he also wrote the book of Matthew. And so we have this record here. Now, sa pag-aaral ng Bible, it doesn't say, I am Matthew, I wrote the book of Matthew. Wala tayong mababasang ganun, no? So, in order for us to find out who wrote the book of Matthew, we have to look at other records, katulad ni Mark, at saka ni Luke, at tapos yung testimony mismo dito sa book of Matthew. And we corroborate the information that we have, and we will say that it's Matthew. Now, sa original Greek, sa pinanggalingan ng Bible natin, hindi rin nakasulat doon kung sino ang nagsulat ng book of Matthew. It doesn't even say that in the Greek. So, we depend on what we call internal evidence galing sa salita ng Diyos. So, tingnan muna natin ang Mark chapter 2. Go over to Mark chapter 2. In Mark chapter 2 verse 14, Mark chapter 2 verse 14, the Bible says, and as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. Verse 15. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, whose house? Levi's house. Matthew. Jesus sat at meat in his house. Okay, so this would be Matthew inviting Jesus to preach to his friends and family before he leaves being a tax collector. So he owns a house. It is Levi's house, sabi ni Mark. Go over to Luke chapter 5. Punta tayo sa Luke. Luke chapter 5, verse 29. Luke chapter 5, verse 29. And the Bible says here, "And Levi made him a great feast in his own house." So again, Luke corroborates what Mark said, and this is Levi's house. So, what about Matthew? What did he say? Go over to Matthew chapter 9. So Matthew rehearses the same event, but he is a little more not as direct and not so certain. He hid himself. Tinago niya yung sarili niya. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 10. Matthew 9:10. "And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house." You see that? So hindi niya sinabi, "in my house." Sabi niya, "in the house." Okay, ninong house. O, hindi naman sinabi dito. And so, Matthew hid himself, but we know this is Levi, or this is Matthew. And so for that reason, this entire book, we all agree that Matthew hid himself here. This is the book of Matthew, or Levi, the tax collector. And so we see the Matthean authorship of the book. Now, beside the Bible, meron naman tayong mga record na hindi biblical, pero historical. We have historical records na nagpapatotoo na si Matthew ay nagsulat ng gospel. Katulad halimbawa ng tinatawag nating church fathers. Okay? So yung mga church fathers katulad ni Papias and Irenaeus. So yung mga taong 100 or yung mga taong 200 BC. By the way, anong taon na tayo? 2023. 2023. Eh, nung kapanahon ng 200, nandun nagsulat si Irenaeus at sinabi niya, nagsulat si Matthew ng gospel. Si Papias nagsabi, nagsulat si Matthew ng gospel sa Aramaic. Eh, hindi naman Aramaic ito, Greek ito. So, ewan ko kung anong pinag-uusapan ni Papias. Pero meron siyang record na nagsulat ng gospel si Matthew. Alright, so we have, yun ang tawag natin doon, external evidence. Now, kung ako ang pagpipilian, mas tinatanggap dapat natin yung internal evidence ng salita ng Diyos, the Holy Scriptures. At yung namang evidence ng history ay secondary lang siya. Hindi siya talaga importante. Kenzie, makinig. Now, kailan sinulat yung book of Matthew? Well, tingnan mo ang Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 is a clue when the gospel of Matthew was written. When? Well, Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. And verse number 15, Matthew 24, verse number 15. Matthew 24, 15. "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand ye in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. So, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains." Okay? So, the abomination of desolation na pinag-uusapan ni Daniel ay yung pagpasok ng Antikristo sa templo para siya ang sambahan ng mga Hudyo. So, ibig sabihin, kung ito ay prophecy ng Panginoong Hesukristo patungkol sa hinaharap ng mga Hudyo, ibig sabihin, hindi pa nangyari. And so, yung temple desecration, hindi pa ho nangyari yun sa kapanahon ni Matthew. And so, before na i-destroy ng, and by the way, pag yung Antikristo nagsabi sa mga Hudyo, sambahan niyo ako, doon magsisimula na mamulat ang mata ng mga 10% ng mga Israelites at doon nila malalaman, hindi pala ito ang Kristo na hinahanap natin. Siya pala yung Antikristo na nagtaguyod ng kanyang sariling image at sasambahin yung kanyang image. Balang araw, pag-aralan din natin yung Antikristo. Kasi, yung first 3.5 years, papatayin yung Antikristo sa dulo ng 3.5 years na yon. May mag-a-assassinate sa kanya. Biro mo, world leader, may mag-a-assassinate sa kanya. Pero gagamitin ni Satanas yung kapangyarihan niya, ibabangon niya uli yung Antikristo. Katulad ng pagbangon ng Panginoong Jesucristo. So, gaya-gaya talaga ang demonyo. And so, doon matutuklasan ng Israel, hindi tayo nagkontrata sa Kristo, nagkontrata tayo sa Antikristo at yung 10% na yung mga Israelites na yon, tatawag sila sa pangalan ng Panginoon at ire-rescue sila ng Panginoon pagkatapos ng 3.5 more years. So that will be 7 years total. Anyway, so hindi pa destroyed ang temple ng Jerusalem sa kapanahunan ni Matthew. At ibig sabihin ng temple, nandiyan pa yung temple, hindi na-destroy ang temple. By the way, historically, kailan na-destroy yung temple ng Jerusalem? Nung sinakop sila ng Roma. Hindi sila sinakop. Nung sinunog ng Roma yung Jerusalem. Dahil nga, dahil sa mga Kristiyano na ayaw magpasakop kay Roma. So, fact ng history, ha? This is a historical fact. The temple was burnt down by Nero AD 70. So, nung taong 70. Ibig sabihin, dapat sinulat na ni Matthew yung aklat niya before AD 70. And so, ang idea natin ay he wrote this about 45 to 50 AD. Okay? So, taong 50. Okay? So, si Kristo, kailan siya namatay? Anong taon siya namatay? 33 AD. Oh, 33 years old siya nung namatay siya. 33 AD. Eh, sinilang siya. Yung buong calendar natin, nakasalalay sa birth ni Jesus Christ. Okay? So, it was AD 33. He died, he resurrected, and he ascended into heaven, AD 33. Lumipas ang 20 years. Nag-serve si Matthew. At sa dulong, I would say, sa dulong wakas ng buhay ni Matthew, bago siya namatay, isinulat niya yung kanyang gospel. Around 20 years after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ. Kanino sinulat ni Matthew yung kanyang book? Kanino niya sinulat ito? Who did Matthew write to? Who is the audience? Who are the recipients of his book, The Gospel of Matthew, according to Matthew? Kanino niya sinulat ito? Who did he write to? Well, we know because he's an apostle, he was in charge of an assembly of baptized disciples. He was in charge of a church. So it is obvious he wrote to the church. Or it could be any of the churches that he served in. Perhaps the church at Jerusalem. Jerusalem Baptist Church. Could be the church in Sychar in Samaria. Could be the church in Galilee. Could be any of the churches that they were involved in. And by the way, by the time 50 AD came, there were churches all over the world. Churches in Macedonia, Babylonia, church in Rome started way back in Acts chapter 2. So there's a lot of churches, and Matthew definitely wrote to the churches. Now, in the churches, mainly, nung kapanahon na nila, majority ng mga churches, wala pa yung missionary work ni Paul. Tanda natin, yung missionary work ni Paul, AD 60. Okay? 60, 62, 64, 65. Yan ang time frame ni Paul. So he planted churches in Macedonia, Corinth, Athens, Ephesus, and so on and so forth. Okay? So, mainly, at this time, 50 AD, ang audience ay mga Hudyo, Jewish Christians, and Jewish non-Christians, but they were Jews. So, ang motivation niya sa pagsusulat, what's the purpose? Why would he write a gospel to the Jews, or to the Christian Jews, and to the unsaved Jews? Well, he writes for the purpose of instructing the Jews and proving to the Jews that Jesus is Messiah, that Jesus is the King. Kaya sa Book of Matthew, halimbawa, ito si Matthew. In Book of Matthew, ang pinakaunang aklat ng New Testament. It's the first book in the New Testament. Ano yung last book ng Old Testament? Book of Malachi. Okay? So Matthew opens the New Testament by demonstrating that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. Therefore, sa Book of Matthew, over and over and over again, Matthew provides evidence that Jesus fulfilled Old Testament types, typologies, and prophecies. So, yun ang purpose ni Matthew. Kung baga, sabi ni Matthew, kakusapin ko yung mga Hudyo, ipapakita ko sa kanila na si Kristo ang Messiah. So, what does the word Messiah mean? Ano ibig sabihin ng Messiah? Okay, you have to know this. Ang ibig sabihin ng Messiah, si Bugoy, alam niya. Bugoy, anong ibig sabihin ng Messiah? Tama. Pinili o hinirang ng Diyos. Ayun, nakikinig yan sa Sunday School. So, pinili o hinirang ng Diyos. Yung salitang Messiah ay galing sa Hebrew. Messiah, Hebrew, Old Testament. Pag sinabing Christ, eto naman, Greek. Griego, Kristo. Messiah, Kristo. Parehas yan. Yung ibig sabihin nito, hinirang pinili. Yung ibig sabihin nito, hinirang pinili. Kaya lang ito, wikang Hebreo. Ito, wikang Griego. Okay, is that clear? Alright? So, hindi ito apelido ni Jesus. This is not Jesus' last name. This is not his family name. This is a title of who he is. He is Jesus the Christ. And he is Jesus the Messiah. We say the same thing. Messiah is Hebrew, Christ is Greek. And Matthew is the perfect link. The perfect link to the Old Testament. Kasi over and over again, just in even the first two chapters, Matthew shows you at least four or five prophecies saying, hey, Jesus is the Messiah because of this. Jesus is the Messiah because of that. Jesus is the Messiah because of this, this, and this. In just the first two chapters. And he goes on and on all through the book of Matthew. And towards the very end, and he shows you how Jesus fulfills Old Testament prophecies even at his death and crucifixion. Even in his resurrection, you cannot miss it. Jesus is Messiah. And so you see, that's the intention of the book of Matthew. Now, yung book of Matthew, pwede natin siyang i-divide sa dalawang bahagi. And by the way,
I erased it. Sorry. Old Testament, New Testament.
By the way, between the Testament, bakit merong Old Testament? Bakit merong New Testament? Bugoy, alam mo rin. Bakit may Old? Bakit may New?
Sa Old po, ano, sa pagdating ng Kristo, sa New, sa, ano, dumating na si Kristo.
Yun. Okay, so yung Old, inaasahan yung pagdating ng Messiah. Yung New, dumating na ang Messiah. So is that clear? Okay, so related yan. Yung Old Testament tsaka New Testament. Now, kahit sa pagbasa mo ng Malakay, pag binasa mo yung Matthew, between the two of them, merong 400 years. 400 years na walang sinabi ang Diyos sa Israel. Nung sinarado ni Malakay yung book niya, hindi na nagsalita ang Diyos ng 400 taon hanggang dumating si John the Baptist sa Bagong Tipan. At yung mga kasaysayan patungkol kay John the Baptist, tapos sumunod si Jesus Christ. So you have the opening again of the Word of God, the revelation of God. So dito, merong Word of God na ilinagay ang Diyos kay Malakay. Dito, may Word of God na binigay ng Diyos kay John the Baptist. Pero dito, wala. Wala, 400 years. Katulad ng ngayon, wala tayong bagong salita ng Diyos pagkatapos ng Revelation chapter 22. Yung final amen doon, yun na yun. Walang Revelation 23. Walang Revelation 24. Walang Book of Marcia. Book of Emil. Walang Gospel of John. Ay, John. Hindi si John. Meron palang Gospel of John. Walang Gospel of Cham. Wala. 400 silent years, pinabayaan ng Diyos ang mundo. Gaya ng katulad, halimbawa, ng ngayon, hindi siya nagbibigay ng word, maliban lang sa word na tinapos ni John, yung New Testament at saka Old Testament. So dito nag-develop yung maraming mga makikita natin sa Matthew, pag pinag-aralan natin yung Book of Matthew. At introduce natin yan as we go through the Book of Matthew. So tandaan ninyo yon. Just remember that. At makikita ko naman ito when you read the Book of Matthew, just from opening the New Testament. Okay? So the Book of Matthew has 28 chapters. At pwede natin siyang i-divide sa dalawang bahagi. We can divide it into two sections. From chapter 1 to 16, ito yung the person and proclamation of Christ. Yung persona at pangangaral ni Kristo. From chapter 1 to 16. Tapos from 17 hanggang 28, the passion and power of Christ. So, yung persona ng Panginoon at yung kanyang kamatayan at muling pagkabuhay at yung kapangyarihan ng Panginoong Jesucristo. Yan ang buong aklat ng Matthew. There's the whole book of Matthew. So, makes it a lot easier to understand when you see, oh, there's only two divisions to the book of Matthew. Now, so, sa aklat ng Matthew, so yung outline na yan, i-develop natin yan every Sunday, every other Sunday, every Sunday that we preach. through the book of Matthew, lalagyan lang natin ng further divisions yung mga ito para magkaroon ng laman yung book of Matthew. Pero yan ang pangkahatang larawan ng book of Matthew. And the theme here, the theme of Matthew is, Behold thy King. Behold thy King. So, Matthew wants everybody to know that Jesus is King and He is the Messiah. All right? And so we have that. Now, only in the book of Matthew. Unique sa book of Matthew. Hindi mo mababasa sa anumang book ng Bible yung mga words na ito. Kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven. That is unique to the book of Matthew. It only shows up in Matthew. So what is the kingdom of heaven? Well, the kingdom of heaven is the millennial kingdom. That's the 1,000 year rule of Jesus Christ. So, nung dumating si Jesus, inoffer niya yung kingdom sa mga Hudyo. Matthew chapter 9, Matthew chapter 10, humayo kayo sa mga villages, sa mga cities, sityo, sa mga barangay, ipangaral ang ebanghelyo ng kaharian ng langit, the kingdom of heaven. Tanong, at sinabi niya, huwag kayo pumunta sa mga hintil, sa mga Hudyo lang muna. Tanong, tinanggap pa siya ng mga Hudyo? No. Kaya pagdating sa Matthew 11, sinabi niya, Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden. Whether you're Jew, whether you're Gentile, is come unto me. Kasi rineject na siya eh, sa chapter 10. So that's why the kingdom of heaven currently is postponed. So sa plano ng Diyos, dapat pumasok na yung kingdom of heaven, tinanggap na siya ng mga Jews, ng mga Hudyo. Kasi siya nga ang Messiah nila. Kaya lang, rineject siya. So nangyari ngayon, ino-offer niya yung kingdom of heaven, hindi lang para sa mga Hudyo, kundi sa lahat ng sa kanya itatanggap. Alright? Hudyo ka man, Pilipino, Amerikano, Russian, Ukrainian, it doesn't matter. Yung kingdom of heaven, iko-continue yan ng Panginoon kailan? Sa millennial kingdom. Yun na, yung kingdom of heaven ilalagay sa earth. At babaguhin ng Diyos lahat. Kaya yung ngayon, sa ngayon, yung earth natin medyo bulok. Hindi lang medyo, talagang bulok. At pabulok ng pabulok, by the way, sorry. Hindi ito ang langit natin, Inan. Darating ang time, ire-regenerate ng Panginoon yung mundo for 1,000 years. At yun ang sasabihin, kingdom of heaven. Ito yung kingdom of heaven na hindi mo makikita kung hindi ka born again. Sabi ni Jesus Christ sa John chapter 3, verse 3, Unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God pala yun. That's kingdom of God. So yung kingdom of God, ito yung spiritual invisible kingdom niya, you have to be born again. Yung kingdom of heaven, yan yung itataguyod niya sa millennial kingdom. 1,000 years reign. Literal reign dito sa mundong ito. Okay? Kaya pinapakita ni Matthew, Jesus is the King. He is the King of the millennial kingdom. So, isa pang word na hindi mo makikita sa New Testament Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, pero makikita mo lang sa Book of Matthew, ay yung word church. Church. Church is a word, just in all the Gospels, it is only found in the book of Matthew. So ano naman yung church? Kasi sa evangelical, yung mga Christendom teachers, mga religious teachers, ang sabi nila, pagligtas ka, parte ka na ng church. Mali yun. That's wrong. If you are saved, you are part of the kingdom of God. Ayun, wala kang problema doon. If you're born again, you are part of the kingdom of God. You will see the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is in you. Spirit. Pero yung church, when the sinabi ni Jesus Christ, I will build my church, that is referring to a particular local assembly of baptized disciples. So, matutuklasan din natin yan pag pinag-aralan natin yung Matthew 16, 17, and 18. Kasi that is instruction to the church or to the churches of our Lord. Now, meron din mga monetary terms, mga pera terms, na hindi mo matatagpuan sa iba pang gospel maliban lang kay Matthew. At bakit mahilig si Matthew sa mga monetary terms and coins and economy and finances? Why? He was a tax collector. Kaya pala, mahalaga sa kanya. You study some of his parables. His parables include finances, economic terms, fiduciary terms. Okay? So this we'll look at it when we see this. Isa sa mga favorite words ng Book of Matthew ay yung fulfill. Fulfill. Or fulfilled, past tense. Fulfill shows up 16 times in the book of Matthew. Jesus fulfilled this. Jesus fulfilled that. Fulfilled, 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 fulfilled. Bakit? Kasi pinapatunayan nga niya na si Jesus ay ang Messiah. In the book of Matthew, you will find the Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5, 6, and 7, the longest public preaching teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 9, 10, 11, yung first missionary endeavor ng Panginoon sa mga Jewish cities and villages. Sa Matthew 13, makikita natin yung Kingdom of Heaven parable. Okay? So kung paano natin nalaman na yung Kingdom of Heaven na postpone sa kapanahonan natin ngayon, at ano ang mga katangian ng kapanahonan natin ngayon, mababasa mo yan sa Matthew chapter 13. Bakit yung iba hindi saved pero nagcha-church? Matthew 13. Bakit yung mga iba saved pero hindi naman nagcha-church? Matthew 13. Makikita rin natin dito yung prophecy ng katapusan ng mundo sa Matthew chapter 24 at saka 25. You see? Yung tinatawag na Olivet Discourse is another long preaching teaching of Jesus concerning the end of the world. Are you interested in finding out about the end of the world? Oh, then you need to read Matthew 24 and 25. So, this whole thing, Matthew is showing us how Jesus is king. Are you interested in that? Ha, interested ba kayo? Makikita natin sa book of Matthew, magmula pa sa birth ni Jesus Christ hanggang sa death, burial, resurrection ni Jesus Christ, ang taong walang pananampalataya ay hindi affected ng katotohanan na si Jesus ay Messiah. Did you hear what I just said? In the book of Matthew, you will see that Jesus is Messiah doesn't matter to someone who doesn't have faith in their heart. And I can't wait to show this to you over and over and over again. Kaya huwag kayong magtaka. Bakit yung Bible hindi pinaniniwalaan ng marami? Noon pa, noong pangkapanahon na ni Matthew, hindi na pinakikinggan ang message ng Bible. Hanggang ngayon, hindi nagbago ang tao, di ba? Pandemic na nga. Dating ugali pa rin. You see? Bagyo na parating. Sakuna. Salot. Hindi nagbago ang puso ng tao. Kapag ang tao ay hindi saved, wala sa kanya yung ito. Wala siyang pakialam dito. Wala siyang pakialam sa Messiah? Sino yon? Who is he? Why should I believe him? Nag-resurrect ba siya? O, hanapin mo yung katawan niya ngayon. Tatlo yung nicho sa Jerusalem. Mamili ka dun sa tatlo. Sabi nila, dito linibing si Kristo. Tatlo ha, three locations. Parehas silang walang, lahat sila walang katawan. Yung buong mundo ba sumasampalataya kay Kristo? Hindi. Why? Kingdom of Heaven parable, Matthew 13. So, the book of Matthew is the perfect link to the Old Testament to prove that Jesus is the Messiah. Now, ito ang problema mo. Kung totoong naniniwala ka na si Kristo ang Messiah, di dapat mabuhay tayo para sa Panginoon. Kasi kung wala sa iyo, hindi wala akong pakialam na si Kristo ang Messiah, yan nangangahulugan, hindi ka saved. You are not saved. If you don't care about what Matthew is teaching us concerning the Messiah, that is evidence you need to get saved. You need to be born again. Kasi when you learn that Jesus is King and Jesus is Messiah, everything makes sense. Why you want to serve Him, why you worship Him, why you want to live for Him, it's because at the end, it's going to work out for everyone who is in Christ. And it doesn't matter if you are the most successful person of this world, kung sa dulo, wala ka kay Kristo, everything you did is worthless. It cannot save you. So, let's bow for a word of prayer and ask the Lord to bless them. Father in heaven, we thank you that we have a book that evidences, that shows over and over again how Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and how in the end, everyone who's saved and born again and has and believes in the Messiah will be happy, will be successful in the end. May not look like it today, but in the end, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. So, Father, I pray that many would come to know Him as Lord and Savior before it's too late. We ask that You help us now in these things, and so we pray these things in Jesus' name.